Hello and welcome to PMU Unfiltered. If you're not sure what you're listening to, this is a permit to make a pod and video cast. Yeah, that's right. We're out here tattooing people's faces. So if you're new to the industry, if you're a veteran to the industry, come with me on my journey through permanent makeup because we're keeping it real, we're keeping it raw, and most of all, we're keeping this PMU unfiltered. Hello, hello, and welcome back to PMU Unfiltered. I'm your host, Marlo, and as you can see, if you are watching this on a video cast, aka my YouTube channel, we are in my studio, and my God, did I think I'd be in a new studio just a year later from my last place? No, I did not, but here we are, and I really like the space. It's super comfortable. It's a little bit smaller for me, which makes me feel those nice, cozy vibes. Maybe I'm just used to working in small spaces, living in New York City, but I like just being efficient and tight and small. And the last place I was at was just really big. It got really overwhelming. I felt like, I don't know, maybe this sounds a little crazy, but I felt like a divorcee that her kids went off to college and she had the whole house to herself and it was just too much room to take care of. That's how I felt in my last space. I don't know, maybe I'm a little extra, call me dramatic, but I'm happier now and it feels really great to be working here. So today's topic, I want to get into some of the forum questions that you guys have. I love the forums. They are forever giving me content for PMU Unfiltered, and I want to answer some of your questions that you have on them, including work, mapping, business questions, even some little tiny tattoo stuff. So I took some screenshots of what we're going to be discussing. So if you are listening to in the car on your way to work, thinking about permanent makeup, getting ready for the day, getting your hype on for PMU, you're going to do amazing brows today. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're going to slay that lip blush. You're going to do all the perfect stretching, everything you know that's in your head. You know you need to execute. You're going to implement that while you're working. Most of you do actually have the tools in your belt from your trainings. You just need to implement them while you're working. And that's how you're going to access that next point of doing good work. You have the tools in your belt. I know you do, especially if you already took a training. Maybe it wasn't a good training. Maybe you need another training, but that's a whole separate topic that we've talked about before and we can get to again. Another forever forgiving topic for me. Let's get to it. Let's look at some work together. See what's going on the webs. Today, we have our first image here, and this is on the PMU Secrets forum page. If you don't even know what I'm talking about, you are missing out on some amazing community out there in the permanent makeup world. There are groups and forums in Facebook that have a great permanent makeup community. We're just doing our best, and let's take everything with a grain of salt and positivity, because I do know that I agree with some of these like negative Nancys on the forums. They're really harsh sometimes. So I think there's a way of criticizing and critiquing. Being a good critical person, even critical with yourself, critical with your work, it will help you grow. Just because you're like, dee, 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 and you're like, I'm done. Wee! It makes me think of those American Idol people that go on there and their families day in and day out were telling them that they were amazing singers, but then you're watching the show and you're just like, how did they come in with such confidence? I mean, bless those people for being confident, but also like, that's not the reality. There is a fine line between, there are two fine lines between criticizing someone, being critical, and then beating yourself up, right? So find that mediumship to them and be able to look at your hard truths, but know that there is a point of growth. This is why we have to look at our work and grow from it. So when we look back at our work. Also, a little recommendation for looking back at your work. I don't know if you've ever done this. And if you've done this, I want you to write in the comments down below. You, like me, take all your photos after you're done with the client and you don't look at your photos after because you feel like you didn't do a good enough job. I've done that before. Comment down below if you've done that too. Trust me, you're not alone. Then you look back in just a few more days when you go to post the content, start doing a little editing, maybe handing it over to your admin or something like that. If they do your content posting and you start looking at it and you're like, damn, that was actually like really good work. Like, why am I so hard on myself? So I definitely know you're not alone. For those people that are, you know, still at a point where they are doing good work, they're in good flow with their business, and you're still hard on yourself, you're not alone. I'm right there with you. Trust me. Again, we've already talked about this in the other podcast. There is no such thing as being the best, right? Of course. So let's get to it. Let's dive into the forums and take a look at what I'm looking at so you can look at it too. And I'll put it up on my screen here. Again, if you're in the car, please keep your eyes on the road. But if you're having your morning coffee with me and you're just down to chat and want to talk about permanent makeup, let's do it. Okay. So I'm looking at this first thing. It's on the PMU Secrets Forum on Facebook. And I just learned to do powder brows. She's my third client. Any feedback for improvement is really appreciated. TIA, thank you in advance. I am looking at some really good beginner work. I'm really happy with this. The brows look soft. It's powdery. It's definitely an ombre brow, well-trained. The mapping looks really beautiful. I maybe would have made them a little bit thinner, but still really, really, really beautiful work. Now, I think it's important that when you are turning out such beautiful work on your third client, you have to be prepared. I'm just letting you guys know. You're going to go through a fluctuating little roller coaster of turning out really good work and then also having points where you're not going to be producing great work. There is such thing as beginner's luck, but this is an amazing start. This person has good hand speed with machine speed. Everything looks really soft and powdery. They are not oversaturated. These are going to heal beautifully. And lucky for her as well, she got to work on a client with ideal skin type. So if you're looking at this image and you're like, oh my God, how did this person get amazing results as their third client? This is someone who is just naturally good at ombre powder brows. So that's really great, paired with ideal skin type. So this session went flawlessly. Her mapping work is beautiful as well. Bravo. I love this. Great start. BC Jane, you are going to go really far, and your friends should definitely come and do some free sessions with you or like discounted sessions with you, because if you have to continue to look at these brows over, you know, cocktails and whatnot when you're sitting down with your friends, I would be proud. These look really great. We're still in the PMU Secrets Forum, and we have a post. Hey ladies, I have a client that's a bit older and her skin has sagged as well as her brows. I'm considering offering a lift to the natural form of her brows with the same shape, but I want to get some input. Please let me know your input. I'd greatly appreciate it. First off, I'm looking at this woman who I would not consider a bit older. I do not consider this client an old client. Maybe she is 42? I think I have a really good grasp on ages at this point in my life. She's 42. I do not consider her sagging skin. She has nice, bouncy, more youthful skin, in my opinion. Maybe the client's complaint out the gate was, my skin is sagging, I'm getting older, and she's reiterating that, but I don't consider this an old client. As for the natural lift that she wants to do with the brows, so if we're looking at this drawn out shape is too heavy. This shape is too heavy for the client. Now, I actually like the client's natural brow shape. She is doing a very good shape for her. If she has an issue with the sagging part of it, she's kind of the client, you can tell by her natural shape, is a little bit bigger, maybe a little more hairy. But her plucking, she's keeping the tails really short and lifted. So if you have a client that is complaining about sagging, you should be shortening the brows just a little bit. So by shortening the brows, you're gonna give that little bit of lift. And yes, do I love an arch? I do, I love an arch. But if a client is already coming in with brows looking like this, and she's kind of clipping the ends up and lifting the brow, stick to that brow shape. This mapping is all too heavy. This is too black, too thick in the arch area, and also not symmetrical. Personally, if I were the client, it's gonna be a no from me. This mapping is just not tight enough to ultimately make the sale. A client, especially when her natural brow shape is really, it's really beautiful. I do like her natural brow shape, and yes, these brows need to be enhanced, but the shape, it's not a sale for me. Keep working on your mapping and you will find that there is a way to do more custom shaped brows and playing with face shapes and different types of insecurities that other clients have. And that comes with practice and practicing mapping, but really it's super, super important to practice having a really clean map, because that's really when you're gonna make the sale and that's when you're gonna know what you're doing. You're gonna be very prepared to perform the service when you have a clean map. All right, we're still in PMU Secrets and we have a newbie in here. So this is my first lip blush independently. Her upper lip got so many bruises. I got a little scared. I didn't wanna do a second pass. Next day, it looked good. So she's my friend and it cuts off. But we'll take a look at the image and see what's going on, what happened here. So I'm looking at this image. Now, when I'm looking at this, I don't like the lip shape, first off. Not a fan of this lip shape. I think it's really much better. Instead of having a rounded lip shape meeting at the corners, I do like to tuck in, depending upon the person's smile / resting face. I like to tuck in the upper lip into the bottom lip, which will naturally give someone a little bit of a smile, for sure. But if someone has like a jowlish type thing, you do need to tuck the bottom lip in a little bit more to not double down on that sad, frowny look. So there are ways of creating optical illusions to make people look more beautiful with permanent makeup, especially when it comes to lip blushing. This is when you get to the next level of lip blushing. Sure, the technique, the stretch, the speed, implanting pigment, but that shape, even with the brows, even just before when I was saying about the brows, the shape will make or break you as an artist. I swear. So it's all about being able to execute the shape, because we don't get to use stencils in permanent makeup. Body tattoo, you get to use a stencil. Huh, how easy, right? No, but in permanent makeup, we have to create our own stencil every time the client comes in, which is another reason why we are a high paying service. We are doing custom work every time. So let's look at this. I think when I'm looking at this image here, yes, very bruised, overworked, hard stretch, stretches too hard, and the pressure overall is too hard. I don't know what needle size she's using. I just generally feel like unsupervised. This is not ready to be working on people type of work. This is not a seamless transition. It looks really choppy. The implantation and that depth and that feeling that you get when you hit the correct depth isn't there. And when you guys know, I remember in my first class, we talked about the sweet spot. What's the sweet spot? There is a sweet spot and you will get to know it. And this client technician does not understand the sweet spot yet. This is, the stretch is just too hard out the gate. Now, you know, it's funny because I look at the other image and it's not so bad. It's prettier the next day once the bruising has let up a little bit. And look, have I bruised clients before? Absolutely. Sometimes people are not like coming in so healthy. The lips aren't prepared. The skin is very thin. They're old and they age. They bruise easily. Maybe, you know, it's just, there's a lot of factors to bruising people, but this is incorrect implantation, stretching too hard, working in panic, and you just need more systems in place when you're about to perform your services. So get back to the latex, make sure that latex looks really beautiful and really seamless, your transitions are equal, and your moving forward sections are also creating full coverage. So you'll get there, but more work on the latex is my best suggestion. And again, be critical of your work. Moving on to the next one. Oh, we have a story here. Okay, we're in Brow Tricks Tribe. Let's see what we have. Okay, y'all, story time with a little popcorn emoji. Adorable. I need your opinion on how to handle this. I have a renter here at my salon and we traded services, a couple body contouring sessions for brows. She said she just needed a touch up, but as you can see in her picture before, it doesn't look like they've ever been touched. I did her brows and told her the color will lighten up. The pic is before, the mapping right after. Well, she had brow shock. That's fine and normal, except she did her research and found that rose hip oil would lighten them. Instead of asking me, she just took it upon herself to do it. Then came in 2 weeks later and said what she had done and laughed it off. I noticed they're kind of ashy and kind of gray, but I didn't say anything because I don't want to give her a complex. Does anyone know if rose hip oil will cause them to ash out? I know it wasn't my pressure. I don't want to do a touch-up on her now because she disregarded the aftercare. And on top of the body contouring she did, it wasn't how I preferred. I do body contouring, and I felt like both sessions aren't what I expected. Let's talk a little bit about bartering your services. I have definitely bartered before with influencers, estheticians, bartenders, other small business owners. So there is a way of bartering and setting expectations, and that's really important. So while she said she did her research, did you do your research? Were you clear on what you wanted from your body contouring session that felt like an agreement in equal terms for you performing the brow service? If the answer is yes, damn, that sucks. If the answer is no, you should have been a little bit more clear about what you expected. Did you want a full body contouring service where you were focused on one spot? Did you ask for full body? You know, there's a few factors in here. So were you clear on what you wanted? And again, there are times that I've definitely been mad at myself about not being clear, and we just have to use these moving forward as learning experiences. Don't beat yourself up. It's a learning experience. Now, as for the brows, let's take a look at this brows. I can tell you're a seasoned technician, artist, however you choose to define yourself. These mapping brows and final brows look beautiful. I don't see that she had ever had them touched before. Maybe she didn't fully understand that this wasn't henna tattoo, perhaps? The henna dyeing in tint? I literally don't see any old work here, so that's odd. And she had brow shock, which is silly to me. These brows look really beautiful, and I can tell you took your time on them. And even 2-3 days later, I wouldn't be bothered if they were too dark, especially when I see a little peeping of a big lash strip here. She kind of looks like a little bit of a glam girl. I'm surprised. Moving forward, as for your rose hip oil question, oil in the skin is going to fade work over time. So she took the initiative to fade the brows out with oil to begin with. Now, the question I have for you is that were you clear on the terms of providing the touch up for her? Because sometimes when I am working with, let's say, influencers, for an example, I do a free service in exchange for some of the things that they can do for me, which that is a whole nother episode. I am willing to give you guys how I work with influencers. Usually, if they don't hit XYZ amount of numbers, which is incentivizing them to promote me, they have to pay for the touch up. So that is a little bit of a little trick I recommend. So in the next endeavor, when you decide to barter with someone, if they refuse to follow the aftercare or they don't follow the aftercare accordingly, the touch-up is not included. And that should have been here. And I do think that in the essence of this as a conversation, maybe if you didn't say that up front, as a business person, it does take being bold and standing your ground at times and being firm and saying, You didn't follow through with the aftercare. I know the work was done correctly, but you did anti-aftercare. And now I have to charge you for the touch-up service. And that would be my best recommendation of leaving it ultimately up to the person that you bartered with. Do they want to pay for their brows to get done correctly and trust you, or surpass on you providing them a touch-up service because they in turn didn't respect you and your business in the aftercare? So those are my two options for you. I hope that can help understand. And again, there is always a way of accomplishing anything that you need to get done within your business with kindness and compassion without getting all sassy. And, I told you so kind of attitude is never going to get you ahead. So those are my two cents there. Moving on, we are in the Botched Ink Forum. I do perform Botched Ink service here in my studio. I've used lift before, I've used fee removal, and we're just gonna stick to the Botched Ink conversation now. I'm not gonna go into my preferences on things, but we'll just stick to the Botched Ink product. It's a saline remover. Okay. Hi everyone, I am very new to saline removal and I have a volunteer for my first trial run. We are both concerned that our existing work is too dark for saline removal. I would appreciate any thoughts. Background info, powder brows done with a machine 5 years ago, only one session and a barely faded since. In natural lighting, they look blue in some areas. So I'm looking at this photo here and yeah, they are dark for sure. Now, just for theory out the gate, let's talk about theory. No brow is technically too dark to handle saline removal. The darker the brow is, the blacker the brow is. I recommend when I see scary black brows coming to me, look, I'm in New York. I see some scary shit coming through here, okay? When they're really dark and I know that shit's not gonna budge for a few sessions with saline removal and I can't give them those results, I will send them to get two laser treatments. I think laser can really get things moving along. Then when the laser starts to shift and the colors start to pop out after those laser treatments, that's when I'm like, when you start seeing red coming through, when you start seeing greens and yellows and skin tones, that's when the saline's gonna work. Because why? Saline removal does not discriminate against colors. So saline removal is great for old brows, like those ugly salmon red brows you might see coming through. So saline can be really good. And in this case, I personally, in my studio, would not let this money walk out the door if this was a paying removal client because I would work on these brows. I know I can get these brows into a happier place in waving my magic wand. What do I think? It's gonna be tough. You're gonna have to be able to execute this properly and set correct expectations, which I don't know if you have those tools in your belt yet because you don't know how saline performs. This is gonna be 4 or 5 sessions for this girl here. Again, first session, you know, you're gonna have to hit the correct depth. You're gonna need to know how to do this removal. I can also see that, yeah, these brows are implanted deep because I can see in the front of this brow here is hard lines. So I know whoever did her brows prior was probably on the new side or using a large needle configuration, and you can just tell by the line. Yeah, they're dark. They're saturated. You will learn a lot from these brows. You really will. And she deserves your help. And I think this is a great person to learn on for sure. So I say, hell yeah, let's do it. Document it and learn something about removal. And please keep this client informed that expectations, there is no magic eraser for permanent makeup. And these will take multiple sessions. And for you people that are here and you're thinking about doing saline, setting expectations for saline, these brows are going to get darker before they get lighter. When you're working with saline and you're on the first session, you're moving that pigment around, you're shaking it up, and you're bringing it to the top. You're saying, come to the top, you're lowering it to the top. That's great for the removal, but that isn't exiting. It's not healing, it's not always gonna scab out after that first session. The brows are gonna look more dark, more saturated, potentially even more brown after that first saline session. But is it good for learning? I say, hell yeah, let's go. Oh, and then we have the owner of Botched Ink commenting here. Welcome. So yes, you can absolutely work on these for Botched Ink. Trust Botched Ink and your training and you'll be fine. You may find that the pigment become darker and less blue as it comes closer to the surface. Yeah, because again, these are dark brows. They were implanted by a beginner, I can tell, and they are too deep, which makes them blue. So, oh, you know what, even 5 years ago, we have light fastness as a whole nother conversation we can get into, but light fastness will also have these undertones fading quicker, which will leave these brows blue. So Lisa agrees with me. She says, let's go. I say, let's go too, okay? Last but not least, we are in the Tiny Tattoo for Beginners forum. And it's a place that I've recently entered because I am now providing tiny tattoos as a service. We can go into the ethics of tiny tattooing in another episode. I think that's actually a really great episode. I'll write that down after we hang up today. I don't even know what I'm saying, but let's get to it. I struggle with the tiny tattoo forum. I really do. I think, thank God, you girls out there with the tiny tattoos are performing small tattoo services and not doing full blasting back pieces and not doing a good job. Because you know what? I don't like the tiny tattoos that I'm seeing on the forum. We're really losing ethic and moral and the essence of permanency when we are doing these tiny tattoos. You need practice. You and your machine should already have a very beautiful, great relationship. You need to understand what it takes for stencils to stay on. Y'all need more practice on this tiny tattoo for beginners. And it scares me when everyone is writing, yippee, Skippy, you got this. Cheerleaders, please hold your cheers. There's not good work going on this forum. And I'm not saying that for everyone, but please, I did these today. The hummingbird was done with the 3RL. The let them was done with a 5RL. This was my first time using a 5RL and I loved it. It was much easier to work with than a 1RL I use for brows all the time, or a 3. Is that common? Also, constructive criticism welcome. Well, you know, here we are. Let them sing. So the reason that you actually enjoyed working with the 5RL is because there's more stability in the needle than the 3RL. So that is one reason why you liked the 5RL better. Work-wise, constructive, no good. This is not good work. The hummingbird in the corner over here is a bit better, but I do see that the implantation is, it's not gonna be good in this type of skin. So you will find, and I can see by the unevenness of the implantation in the 3RL is, it's not even. And this is a very, it's like a bendy spot. It's a very dry spot in the ankle and this won't heal well. I say this for even in the vein of permanent makeup. If you wouldn't want it on yourself, then don't do it to other people. So if you wouldn't want bad brows on yourself, then you're not ready to perform that on other people. You know, and there is a spot where you take that leap of, you know, practice, and then you got to put the practice into motion. But this is not good work. Let's go through this. The weight of the lettering is incorrect. Generally speaking, when you're going down with the lettering is the fatter part. And so the L should be fat and then it swoops out and it's not fat anymore. And then the E should be fat coming down and swoops up into the T. And then the T should be fat coming down, swoop down and taper off. That's how this should look. An additional issue that I see with it is that it is not straight. This is not a line. You know, it's just not linear. When I look at the back of the leg, no bueno. Also, another text issue with this is that the L is not capitalized and the them is capitalized. Why? Incorrect as well. So, you know, there is just a lot more growth and learning and understanding tattooing and lettering. If you want to do the tiny tattoos, there is a way to practice and learn and be more critical of your work before you're tattooing them on people. Bring the critique to it. This type of work here should have been practiced on latex, should have been reviewed, lined up in Procreate. It just, generally speaking, needs a lot more growth and understanding of art, really, ultimately. All right, let's wrap this up with one more tattoo on the Tiny Tattoo Forum, and we'll start here. Could I get some feedback? My fourth tattoo, are my lines saturated enough? I had to go over 2 or 3 times to get it saturated. I used a 3RL around 7 voltage. Are there parts that will fade? Okay, here we go. Now, this is someone who is still needs a little bit of practice. Girl, you really do. You still need a little bit of practice on the latex. You still need to be able to hit that depth. You need to be able to find that sweet spot. I'm not seeing a consistent line being pulled. You stressed out during your 3RL. Now, 3RL at 7 voltage. I don't know what machine you have. I don't know what power supply you have, but this should be okay. This work is not implanted evenly. It is not. This is not going to heal evenly either. So you know that. That's why you're asking, and you know. Also, you didn't have enough ink in your cartridge while you were pulling and running some of these lines. The lines are inconsistent because you were hitting different depths, and I don't think you were picking up enough ink in your cartridge. So that's an issue as well. Another issue that I'm seeing here, look, I'm just going to bang these issues out for you so you get better. This is not because, you know, you should stop tattooing, you should stop practicing, and your career's over and you're fucking people up. This is so we get better. This is why we talk to each other like this, right? Here at PMU Unfiltered. It's for betterment. Your lines, you're not closing your lines off, and you're not running the lines long enough. So I'm looking here at some of your lines and some of your leaves coming into the stem, and it's not touching. So those aren't touching, and we have a blowout over here, and we're really lacking the three-dimensional quality and shading art theory for these flowers to look 3D. And that is something that you should practice, and you should study and pick up a book and doodle when you're sitting having your coffee in the morning, and practice drawing a flower. You should be practicing drawing first before you are tattooing. If you are going to rip images off of Pinterest and then put them in Procreate and print your stencils, you should practice drawing over them in Procreate so you learn your stencil before you apply it to someone. This needs work. You need theory. And you need to practice more on the latex. You're close. You're close to tattooing on your friends and them not hating you. You're close, but it's not there yet. Yeah, you should have really learned this stencil. You should have had a better relationship with your stencil before you tattooed it, ultimately, is a really big takeaway from this. All right, so that's what I have for you guys today. I hope that helped understand a little bit more between critique and criticism, and also just really needing systems in place and needing structures in your permanent makeup. I will say this time and time again when it comes to permanent makeup, tiny tattoo, whatever it is that you're going to do and tattoo onto someone, if you wouldn't want it on yourself, then don't put it on other people. You're not ready. Take it to the latex, practice, practice, practice. And at some point, there will be a point you get to tattoo someone, I promise, for sure. But get to that point where you are really ready, and you look at your work and you look at it with a critical eye, and you say to yourself, like, not bad, not bad. That's a great place to be. If you like this content, you like knowing when I'm posting, you like seeing what's up, you like getting motivated, please comment down below, subscribe to my channel. It costs you nothing to know that I'm around and I'm creating more content. That's what we do. Subscribing, following, you know the deal. This is how we stay in a great community, and we create a community for ourselves. And if you ever need help, you can DM me at Marlo Cosmetic Tattoo. I'm really, you know, I'm there, I'm around, I'm here to help. Please comment down below if you have any questions, or you want your work broadcasted on here too. And I will try to be as kind as possible, but in all the vein of unfiltered honesty. And yeah, stay tuned, and I'll see you around. Bye, guys.